Read with us our opening passage this morning, Hebrews chapter number 11. We'll begin reading at verse number 23 down through verse 29. Very familiar passage. Boy, I tell you what, the ones of you that have got to hear those children the last few weeks quote this whole, all 40 verses of Hebrews, you cannot, I hold back while they're doing it, but inside my heart is leaping with joy as they go through and just name after name after name, hero after hero, that through faith and by faith and with faith, all of these wonderful things were accomplished. And it just, I just want to encourage those children. That's a blessing to me when they recite that 11th chapter. Praise God. Do you have it? Verse 23. Let's read it together. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Praise God. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. It took faith for them to operate and to go against the law of the land, because those that were with those women when they delivered those children, when they identified the gender of that child, if it happened to be of the male gender, they were to destroy that child. That was the king's commandment. There was no senate. There was no way to appeal. That was what the king said. And his word was final. His word was thorough. Whatever he said, that's exactly what was going to take place. Praise God. Moses' mother makes an estimation, and she makes a choice. And I want to use for a title today, Eternal Estimations. Eternal Estimations. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. I'm talking about Moses. We can understand between verse number 23 and verse number 24. Verse number 24 starts out, by faith Moses. Now, remember verse 23, we're talking about Moses' parents, Amram, Jochebed. They were descendants of Levi, and they realized that the king's commandment was if this little child that's born is a male child, it will have to be destroyed. And so if they were going to save that child alive, they were going to have to operate in faith. Amen. So they made a choice. They did an estimation, and they made a choice to save the life and hide that little child and not destroy it. Praise God. Now, I really don't have time to go into all the details. You know a lot of them. I'm sure most of you do. But they hid that child. Moses' mother, Jochebed, created or built or made an ark, a little
And I don't know. I have some mental pictures, but that may not be exactly right. But she took those bulrushes or those weeds, no doubt, and weaving every stitch of those things together. Brother Luke, probably sort of like that little hat you come home with from Hawaii, where that fellow took those weeds and weaved that, then could make all kinds of things out of that. Amen. But not only the weaving was sufficient for her, but realizing still yet that would allow water to transfer from the inside to the out. So she finds some pitch and she pitches it within and without. How many is going to help me preach this morning? You know what she's doing? She's not just saying, well, I'm just going to stand in faith. I'm just going to operate in faith. I'm just going to operate in the supernatural. No. For her to operate in faith, she had to do some things with her hands. Can somebody say amen? It's not just going around speaking things and saying things and wishing things and hoping things. If you are going to take a stand on what you believe is right, your stand will require some effort on your part. Amen. Hallelujah. So she creates for him a little boat or a little ark, and she puts that little bundle of love down inside of that. Amen. No doubt. I just feel like in my mind, when she made that little ark of bulrushes and she pitched it within and without, she probably found a tub of water somewhere and put that thing down in it. Amen. Just trying to see, is it soaking through? Do we have any leaks in the little boat? Amen. She is doing something. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes, come on now here, sometimes we have to put some legs with our prayers. Sometimes we have to put some efforts. God save our county. God save our nation. God send revival to our church. God save the folks in our community and stop this killing and stabbing and doping and drinking. Amen. You got to pray about it. But bless God, after you pray about it, you may have to go to the jailhouse and preach some sermons. Hallelujah. You may have to get off the seat of do nothing and drive a van and pick some folks up. Amen. It's more than just praying. Moses' mother had to pray and she had to have faith, but she also had to make an ark and pitch it within and without so it would keep that baby alive. Hallelujah. Oh, wish somebody say amen in the house this morning. I want to have revival. I want to see God do something. I want to see God bring in the lost. Amen. But how is He going to do that if we don't ever do anything but pray? Well, we got to pray. Amen. Pray what? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers in the vineyard. Pray that God will move on somebody else to do it. We're doing our part by praying, but we're hoping somebody else is going to do it. Jochebed realized, if I'm going to stand in faith, nobody else is going to love this baby like I can. And nobody else will make sure that he's protected. I'm going against the king. I'm going against the government. I'm going against the law. Amen. But I'm standing in faith, and I'm going to do something about it. Oh, I wish I could get moved on from this here this morning, but I'm kind of stuck right here. We want our children to get saved. We want our loved ones to get saved. We want God to bring them in. But then we talk about everything that's going on at the house of God, and we run folks down. Amen. And we don't do anything to build up the kingdom. My friend, your little boat is going to let you down when you get the one inside that you love, unless you have pitched it within. In and without. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. She made a decision. She made an estimation that her baby was worth taking a chance on. And she done everything in her power. Oh yes, Brother Luke, I know she prayed. No doubt she spent hours even before that baby was born. God, I don't know what this baby's going to be. But if this baby's a boy, I'm going to have to make a decision. Amen. She didn't wait till right then, till that midwife told her it was a little boy. All of those months she was expecting protecting that child. She is praying and interceding and bombarding heaven and asking God to give her a miracle. Amen. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must apply everything you know to your faith. Otherwise, you can speak everything you want to speak. You can say all the right things. But unless you put some action with your faith and your prayers, your little baby's going to float on down the river. Probably be eaten by the alligators. Amen. God help me to preach here today. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Verse number 24, by faith. Here's what I want to preach to now. Amen. Eternal estimations. By faith. Amen. Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Church, I wish right now, would you just lift your hands, ask God to help me and anoint me to preach right now. I've got a message I need to get to somebody here this morning. I know it's a holiday weekend, and I know we're distracted. Man, I know we want to hurry up and get out of here, and we've got things to do, but I want to know something. Man, I want you to, man, to get this feeling in your mind. This is a holiday weekend. There's a lot of people reveling in sin, but God has given us an opportunity, amen, to reach for a lost soul right here in this service today, amen. And I believe if we'll put some pitch with our faith, amen, and some bulrushes with our faith, it might be that God would let us save one of our own right here in this service today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. She's now verse 23. You got to understand in the book of Hebrews between verse 23 and verse 24, there's about 3 decades of time that pass. He's hid. Verse 24 or 23. I read that to you. Verse 24. Now he's come to years. Amen. How many knows that Moses was 40 years old when he decided to go down to the camp of the Hebrews and check them out? Amen. We're going to go down there and see what's going on. We're going to go down there and look and see what's happening down there. Amen. In the Hebrew camp. Amen. Let me tell you some more things right now. This is my opinion. I think Moses right now, God is dealing with him. Amen. His mother's prayers are coming to pass when he's about 10 or 12 years old. Amen. Maybe I just need to fill in a couple more blanks here. Amen. Some of you do know the story. I don't want to assume that everybody does. Amen. But by faith, Moses' mother put him in those in that ark of bulrushes and hid him among the flags. Amen. In the backwater of the Nile. Amen. And here comes Pharaoh's daughter down, and she realizes there's a little ark, and here's a little baby crying. She sent somebody out to draw him out of the water. Amen. That's how Moses got his name. Because he was drew out. Amen. I'm telling you all, beyond those prayers, Moses' mother put his big sister, amen, on a watch to see what happened. And I believe that as soon, amen, as Miriam seen the Pharaoh's daughter pull that baby out of there, she goes running up to her trying to get her attention. Amen. And saying, would you like for me to get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child? Amen. You know what God's doing? He's working something through faith. It would have never happened if she hadn't had faith. It would have never happened if she hadn't took a stand. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. I'm believing God for my children. I'm believing God for your children. We did not sacrifice and bring them to church and put them through Christian school. Amen. For them to make good worldlings. No, 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 my brother. We are reaching for them. And we are pulling for them, and we are holding on. Amen. I've got some pitch. I've got some prayers. Amen. I've got some work that's put into mine that I'm expecting to receive a reward and a harvest from those things. Can you say amen? No, I'm asking you, church, come on here. Amen. Pull in here with me a little bit. Come on now. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pull. Let's reach. Let's believe God to do something today. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I didn't throw my children to the public school. I didn't throw my children to chance. I didn't throw my children to be educated by the television. I didn't throw them to be educated by video games. Amen. I sent them to church. I didn't send them. I went with them. I brought them. Amen. I did send them to Christian school. I tried to do everything I can to make sure they have a solid foundation. But I got to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There will be a time like Moses. They will have an identity crisis. And they will have to make a decision about which direction they are going. Moses is drew out. Moses gets the privilege of going back home with his mother every day till he's 10 or 12 years old, until Pharaoh's entourage with chariots and gold and silver, no doubt, comes down to the Hebrew camp to pick up his grandson. Y'all understand what I'm preaching? His own mother has raised him. This is what I believe. Brother Daniel, I believe every day of Moses' life, she's reminding him, son, one of these days, I don't know for sure when, but there's going to be some people from the palace, and they're going to come down here and get you because you've been adopted by Pharaoh. Amen, by Pharaoh's daughter. But the longest day you live, boy, don't you ever forget, I am your mama, amen, and you are a Hebrew. They may tell you something different. They may try to educate you differently. But don't you ever forget it, boy. You are a Hebrew. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah. Amen. How was he able to do that? Amen. 10 or 12 years old, they come and get him. Amen. Now he's no longer educated. Amen. Hear me preach now. When our children are small, we make the decision on how we're going to educate them. We make the decision on where they're going to church. We make the decision on where they're going to, amen, going to school. But when they are come to years, amen, how many of you are claiming with me to train up a child in the way he should go? And when he is old, he will not depart. How many knows that sometimes the time span is different for some than it is for others? Until they come to a spiritual maturity to realize who they are and what they should be doing. Some from the card class and the youth group are able to make good, solid decisions and say, I am a Hebrew, and go straight from there. But some make the mistake of spending time and wasting their substance with riotous living before they come to years. For Moses, it's about 30 years from the time that the chariots drive off and take him to the king's palace. Now, he is Pharaoh's grandson. So now Pharaoh will be deciding what he learns, what he eats, what he wears, how he's educated. He has been educated in the camp of the Hebrews till he's 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 years old. Scholars disagree on the time. Amen. But for those other formative adolescent years, he is educated in the culture of Babylon. My God, I wish I could preach in here today. Amen. Church, are y'all listening to me? Do I have your attention? Or are you scattered somewhere else here this morning? And I beg you, if you are, would you come back in here for a few more minutes and help me get through this? Oh, I want God to do something here today. What I would like to do through the anointing of the Holy Ghost, if God would destroy this yoke, is bring somebody to that reality this morning. Amen. And take them one more trip down to the camp of the Hebrews and remind them, son, this is who you are. This is where you belong. This is what you should be doing. Amen. He was educated in the University of Babylon. Amen. He was brought up how to be an Egyptian soldier. Amen. Even in the writings of the of the Jewish historian Josephus. You will find Moses won a lot of great victories. Amen. He became a very notable man. He had a name. Amen. Winning battles for his king, for his grandfather, if you will. Amen. Come on, church. Oh yes, he did. Amen. But now he's 40 years old, and he's having an identity crisis, and he shows up down at the camp of the Hebrews, no doubt dressed in all this garb, looking like an Egyptian. Amen. But something is gnawing inside of him. Amen. My mama said I was a Hebrew. My mama said I was of the tribe of Levi. My mama said that Abraham's my father. My mama said. Amen. Church, I'm asking you right now, would you start praying for our backsliders, that somehow that little voice in their head would start saying, but mama said, but preacher said, but Sunday school teacher said, amen, I'm not supposed to be doing this. I'm not supposed to be living here. I'm not supposed to be wearing this. Mama said, I'm a Hebrew. Oh, holy, holy, holy. In Jesus' name. And I want you to get to verse 24. Verse 23 to verse 24. But when Moses come to years, amen, he had to make that decision. Amen. I'm in an identity crisis. I've been raised. I've been educated in Egypt. I look like an Egyptian. I wear what the Egyptians wear. I've won some battles for the Egyptians. Amen. But I'm down here now in the camp of the Hebrews. And here's two men in a fight. It's an Egyptian, maybe a taskmaster, and an Israelite. Amen. And Moses can't take it. And he slays the Egyptian. Oh, God. The next day he shows up again. Two Hebrews are striving. They're in a fight. Moses walks up to split up the fight. And one of them says, wait. You going to slay me like you slew the Egyptian yesterday? Moses realized the thing was known. He never went back to the palace. He headed to the backside of the desert. Amen. Now, are you with me now? He's 40 years old. He spends 40 years in the desert. Moses is an old man by the time he comes back to visit Pharaoh to talk about leading the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. Can somebody say amen? And lift your hands one more time and ask God to help us here today. It's happening to me again, like it happened so many times before. I get bogged down in too many little details. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Brother Arnold, I'm trying to do my best here today. My God, I wish I could get somebody's attention here this morning. If I could just get somebody to remember who you are. Remember who you are. Remember from where you came from. Remember what your roots are. Remember what you're supposed to be doing. Remember what God called you to do when you was young. I think there are many young people that have been raised in our holiness churches because of the pressure from the outside, are themselves in the midst of an identity crisis. Can you give me some more, brother? Oh, God. And unless they remember who they are and what they are supposed to be doing, they are themselves going to become a tragedy. Oh, God, I wish the house was full and I wished everybody was pulling. And I wish all I want to. And I know some of you are, and I can tell you are, but I feel the distraction of the enemy. I feel that I'm battling something from the pulpit this morning that I don't like. And, oh, that I had some Holy Ghost-filled brothers and sisters this morning that would feel the burden of my heart as well. Amen. Oh, God, help us. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. We've got a movement. It's not just in our church. I talk to preachers all over this country. Amen. Many have left our youth groups and find themselves in an identity crisis. Amen. I.e. the Christian standards, amen, of the Bible and the Word of God versus progressive secularism. The world's telling them they got to do something else. The world's telling them they got to live something else. The world's telling them they got to dress something else. And the church is saying, hold on to who you are. Remember who you are. Remember your identity. Don't forget who you belong to. Remember. When he's come to years, he makes an eternal estimation. He esteems the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. Did you hear me? Moses made an estimation. He esteemed whatever I have to go through here to maintain my identity in this identity crisis. It's going to be greater than the treasures of Egypt. Let me tell you something. Egypt was experiencing an economic boom. They were building treasure cities. You know why Egypt was so wealthy? I can tell you why. Because there was a man by the name of Joseph that had preceded Moses that made those pharaohs in that dynasty extremely... Come on back, church. Please, please come in here with your minds. Made them extremely wealthy. Amen. Listen to me. Because God raises up one generation and makes somebody wealthy, sometimes subsequent generations fall because they feel like they don't need God. Amen. God had brought Joseph out of the dungeon. God had brought Joseph out of the prison. And God, through Joseph's wisdom, had made the pharaohs for decades and years to come, even centuries, extremely wealthy. And because of the wealth of those pharaohs now, for a son of Joseph, for a descendant, are y'all still here? That treasure of Egypt has a very appealing view. There wouldn't have been those treasures in Egypt had it not been for another Hebrew. Oh man, I wish I could preach this. Am I doing y'all any good? Am I helping you? Praise God. So now sometimes because God blesses somebody, somebody else later has to make a decision. Moses, when he has come to years, esteems the reproaches of Christ greater riches. I'm not through preaching, but I need the congregation to stand just for a moment. I'm doing this for a reason. There's reasons why I'm doing this, and I'm trying to be careful about some things because I realize we're on Spreaker now. Would you lift your hands? Ask God to help the preacher. I'm going to bring this to a close here real quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. Somebody get us a song. All right, you may be seated right now in the name of Jesus. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made an eternal decision that day in the Hebrew camp. No longer am I going to be called Pharaoh's grandson. No longer am I going to be identified as Pharaoh's daughter's son. But today, I'm going back to my roots. Oh, holy, holy, holy. Oh, I wish somebody today. I'm trying, and I'm battling a lot of stuff. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm just going to talk to the devil. You just go ahead and battle me a little bit longer right now, devil. Because the Holy Ghost is going to break this thing through in a moment. I'm tired of messing with you. I battled you this whole time I'm preaching. I resist you. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get behind me. Get behind me in Jesus' name. I know it's a holiday, but I know it's a Sunday. And I know it could be life and death for somebody. Oh, hallelujah. My God, help us in here today. Somebody needs to make a decision. Somebody needs to take a trip down to the Hebrew camp. Somebody needs to hear something ringing in their ear. You are not an Egyptian. Amen. My mama said I'm a Hebrew. Right now, take a trip. Amen. With the help of the Holy Ghost, I'm bringing you to that place in your life of years. Moses, when he had come to years, man, that front lobe, they call it the front lobe of your brain. It's bigger in humans than it is any other animal. Man, and that frontal part, or the frontal lobe of your brain, is the part of your brain that can take information from here and from over here and from over here and put it inside. Man, make a process. This is what works. This is not what works. This is what we need to do, and we'll have a, amen, we'll have an outcome. He put all of those things from the past and the future and the present, hallelujah, amen, and made a decision that said, I will suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoying the treasures that Egypt has. Amen, because of Joseph, I am a Hebrew, hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He come to years. He come to himself. He put all the facts together. Amen. And he made a decision. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Man, there's somebody right here, while I'm preaching, while I'm giving this altar call, would come to years. Amen. I've already said some come to years in their teenage years. Some it's for Moses. It's a long time. It's decades before they mentally come to years to use the frontal lobe of their brain to process information to say, this is who I am. This is where I want to be. And this is how I can get there. I'm not a brain surgeon. I'm just telling you, y'all can read this stuff just like I have. I tell you what, Christians, God's people, have made good use of their frontal lobe. Moses engaged that part of his brain that processes, that part of his brain that calculates, that part of his brain that can see what the outcome is. How do you know that, preacher? Because it said in verse 26, for he had respect unto the recompense. Amen. The recompense has to do, Brother James told us that the other night, and the ones that heard him speak in the graduation, the recompense, that word is like a ledger. It's like a tally sheet. It's like those records that have to be reckoned, like you would balancing your bank statement. He had respect for the recompense. If I do this, if I enjoy the treasures, it'll only be for a season. It'll only be for a lifespan. I can set back the rest of my life, live on Easy Street, live in the palace, enjoy everything Egypt has to offer for the rest of my life. Eat, drink, and be merry and not worry about nothing. It'll all be fine. Amen. You see, that's what he's calculating. Or I can suffer affliction with the people of God. Amen. Oh, church, my God. Oh, I wish y'all could get a hold of this here this morning. Jesus, help us here today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise God. And thank God. Woo. When he done the recompense, when he done the tally sheet, he said, I'll be better off to suffer affliction with the people of God. Amen. His frontal lobe, calculating, processing information. Amen. Let him add everything up in one column and everything up in the other. Amen. I've already told you, I believe Christians make good use of their frontal lobe. Amen. They figure it out. They get a grip on it. They understand it. Hallelujah! It's not all about this world. It's not all about what's around us. But praise God, we can put treasures in heaven. And we can make an eternal estimation. And make a decision that will not only affect this life, but will affect eternity to come. Can somebody shout hallelujah in the place today? Amen. How did it turn out? Amen. How did it turn out for Moses? Well, let's see. He delivered about 3.5 million people out of Egypt's bondage. If he would have sat in the king's palace, he wouldn't have been able to do that. Amen. He give us the law, which is the foundation of social behavior that yet stands today. Amen. Even in the nation we live in. Praise God. He made a recompense. Thank God he added up the, amen, all the figures and came up with the process. Amen. And the solution. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I know he suffered. He coped and survived many complex challenges that would have killed most of us. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you what I think. One of the greatest things. I know Deuteronomy chapter 30 is awfully sad. 31, 32, somewhere in there. God says, Moses, you can't go. Promised land. See that you speak no more to me about this matter. Don't pray about it anymore. Don't talk to me about it anymore. You're not going. You can get up on Nebo and you can look over and see it, but that's as close as you're going to get to it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just got a hold of this last night, but you know, when Moses prayed and asked God to show me your glory, y'all remember that? God hit him in the cliff of the rock. We could say that was a 1,500-year prayer request that went unanswered. Hallelujah. But one day Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Into an exceeding high mountain. Amen. Amen. When they got up there, Jesus was transfigured in front of them. Amen. And while they beheld him and his garments were shining. Amen. Right in the midst of that, Brother Dave. Amen. You know who showed up, don't you? Woo! Moses and Elijah, hallelujah. 1,500 years getting that request answered. But he saw Jesus Christ in all of his glory. Hallelujah. Amen. He saw the manifested Son of God. Hallelujah. On the mountain of transfiguration. God answered his prayer. Did God treat Moses right? Oh yes, he did. Did God do right by Moses? Oh yes, he did. It just happened to be about 1,500 years later, amen, that he got the eternal benefit, amen, of a rational decision and a precise calculation of a recompense of the reward. Somebody stand in this house and shout hallelujah here today. Sing, sister, sing. Sing right now. Come on, I've done my best. I should have done better. Wished I could have. But I tried to do the very best I could do. Felt like God gave me this message. Amen. I want to see God help us in these altars this morning. I wonder who'll come and seek God around the altar today. Would somebody come to years? Would somebody come to terms? Would somebody figure out where you are? Would somebody realize what's going on in your life? And make a decision.
Before the old lifeline, but I thank God He found me. He found me just in time.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I was going
make a decision,
time,
make a calculation.
And no,
use your frail old this morning. Process the information.
My voice was swiftly fading.
Come to years.
Shifting with the tide.
Somebody can come to years right here in this service.
From out
somebody can come to years right here in this altar call. Somebody can come to years right here.
God,
I'm making a plea this morning. And say,
just
I am.
In time.
I will. I'm going to receive.
Oh,
I'm
going to
make a determination. I'm
going to
process all the numbers. And I'm
going
to give my life to Christ. I'm
going
to remember who I am. I'm
going
to come back to Him and receive the Lord Jesus.
Deep. God knows how long.
Moses, when he come to years, come to the reality of the situation.